Lecture topic, constant crave for more. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام عجبا لأمر المؤمنين إن أمره كله له خير وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له وإن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, the ayat al-kareema that I've recited before you, ألهاكم التكاثر. Allah Rabbul Izzat in the most precise and concise and comprehensive ways, Allah says the crave of more, the constant, the perpetual crave of amassing and accumulating more and more. And because of this mutual rivalry that remains in you, it has made you unmindful of what you have. Because your gaze is always ahead, you want more, so you have forgotten and you have become unmindful of the bounties of Allah that you enjoy. Shaykh Sadi rahimahumullah was walking towards the Jamia Masjid of Damascus. It was the day of Friday. It was extremely hot. He had no shoes. So the thought crossed his heart and mind, oh Allah, some servants are wearing exclusive clothing, wearing wonderful shoes, and I don't have any pair of shoes, oh Allah. He hardly said this, and there was a crippled man that was crawling his way towards the masjid. When his gaze fell on that, he fell in sujood. That, oh Allah, if you haven't given me shoes, I am grateful you have given me feet. So Allah says, this constant crave in you will not come to an end. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you go and visit the graveyard. Not visit it as it visits, but until you are lowered into the grave. Allahakum al-takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The day you will be lowered into the grave, that would be the end of your rivalry and your crave and your desire. The hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stares at us daily. Wherein the Nabi of Allah says, لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ وَادِيًا. If man had one valley of gold, he would desire two. وَلَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ لَبْتَغَى ثَالِثًا. If man had two valleys of gold, he would desire three. وَلَن يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. The only thing that would saturate the belly of the son of Adam will be the soil of his grave. Friends and elders, ask ourselves, how many times didn't we set material goals in our life, material objectives? That Allah, once this is done, then I will be happy with you, I will be pleased. Today my house is paid off, my car is paid off. I will be happy, I will be grateful, I will have no other temptations and desires. But Allah forgive, before we came to that point, our gaze was 10 steps ahead. So the day this was accomplished, we could not be grateful to Allah. Why? Our sight was much ahead. We find it is for the same reason that Islam has taught us, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has preached to us, that in matters regarding the material world, we should constantly keep our gaze on those that are less fortunate and less privileged. And in matters of deen, our gaze and our focus should be on those that excel us, so that it can motivate us to obey Allah. We have been taught by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when we see a person physically disabled, and perhaps this is one of the du'as that needs to be recited daily. Nabi alayhi salam says, if you see a person blind or physically disabled or in any form of sickness, you go to the hospital, from the time you enter till the time you exit, you'll only be reading this du'a. To read this du'a, Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma bitalaka bihi. All praise belongs to Allah, who has protected me from the calamity which he has afflicted on my brother. All praise belongs to Allah, who has safeguarded me from the disability, the handicap in which my brother is suffering. And that's not all. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. Nabi alayhi salam says, read this dua and ponder over its meaning. Allah, I am grateful that you saved me from this handicap. And at the same time, I acknowledge your kindness, that indeed you have given me virtue over a significant amount of your creation, O Allah. We find again the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam is that when you read it in front of a disabled person, to read it softly and gently, so that this person must not hear you praising Allah. Imagine he will hear that this man is praising Allah, he is not like me. That is why Nabi alayhi salam says, read it in a soft tone, so that you don't offend that brother. But look at his situation and thank Allah and be grateful to Allah. However, the ulama say that if you see a person that is in guna and in vice and in transgression and is suffering, a person is got financial problems. Why? Because he is involved in interest and usury. A man is going through some problems because of sin. Now you must loudly, clearly, boldly on his face read this dua. Because his calamity is self-inflicted. So we will loudly say, all praise belongs to Allah who has made me superior to you and safeguarded me from the evil temptations in which you have become a victim. But on the contrary, we have reversed the situation. Unfortunately, from that small child till that adult, every man's gaze is going on those who enjoy a better material world. The child's gaze is on that one has a better toy than I. The woman is saying, you must see my sister's bedroom, what her husband did for her. Every person is looking on what the next man has, materially speaking, because of which he doesn't have time to appreciate what Allah has given him. And in matters of deen, we are looking at those that are lower than us, falsely consoling ourselves that we are pious. So I look at my neighbor and I say, well, I go to salah, my neighbor doesn't come to the masjid, so I am better than my neighbor. My wife dons the scarf and the hijab. My brother's wife walks around semi-nude, so my wife is better. My nephews don't know how to read the Quran. My children have memorized Yasin, so my children are better. My brother, you are comparing yourself, your wife and your children with such people whom Allah has not made the basis of comparison. Allah will not judge you with that Aisha. If your wife can match the wife of Nabi alayhi salam, then yes, she has produced the desired iman. If your children can match the children of the Sahaba, then your children have displayed the required iman. So in deen, Allah encourages us to look at those that excel us, so it motivates us. And in dunya, Allah wants, we must look at those that are less privileged, so it makes us aware of the bounties and the favors of Allah. But today what I want to focus on, that if we cannot look at those that are less privileged, although it is happening in our surroundings, in our neighborhood, for some reason, because of the material pressure and this vicious circle of materialism where every man is only craving to acquire and amass more and more, if for some reason we cannot look at those that are less privileged, the minimum that every man should do in his life to motivate him to appreciate what he enjoys is not to forget his past, the condition in which he started from. If I can't look at that beggar that has come to my door and appreciate Allah, then let me think of those days of poverty in my own life where I never could think Allah will favor me with such an empire. You and I would be quick to tell our children that, you know, when we grew up in the old days, 10 of us living in one house. But really, brothers, wallah, those days were something else. There was one person earning and 10 people were happy in that house. Today, 10 people are earning, wallah, not one is happy. Not one is happy. So let us reflect on the past. Let us not forget the past. There were times the elderly people will speak. I'm a young person, I cannot speak for this, but I hear from my elders. My father tells me that eating a meal with meat was a luxury. It was eaten on occasions of Eid. Today perhaps my child's spending would suffice for weeks of provisions in the house. How often do we reflect on our own past to make us understand how Allah has favored us? An opportune incident to substantiate this. The riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna thalathatan min Bani Israel." There were three people in Bani Israel. Abrasa wa aqra'a wa a'ma. One person suffered leprosy. He was a leper. The other man was bald. And the third person was blind. Aradallahu an yabtaliyahum. Allah intended testing them. فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِمْ مَلَكًا. Allah sent an angel in a disguised form. The angel came to this person suffering leprosy. Naturally, the man who is sick, after every dua, on every moment of acceptance at every venue, Allah cure me or cure my mother or my sister, whoever is sick, that is his dua, and only he knows how desperate he is for that cure. The angel came to him and asked him, what do you desire the most? He says that Allah must cure me. وَأَنْ يَذْهَبَ عَنِّي هَذَا الَّذِي قَدَرَنِي النَّاسِ. And Allah must remove from me my sickness and my adversity because of which society has shunned me. I don't have a beautiful skin and people are not looking at me. So Allah must cure me. This is the greatest hope, desire, aspiration and ambition with which I love. فَمَسَحَهُ. The riwayat comes in Bukhari. The angel took his hand and passed his hand over this leper. Instantly Allah Ta'ala cured him. أُعْطِيَ لَوْنًا حَسَنًا وَجِلْدًا حَسَنًا. Allah gave him a beautiful skin with a striking features, a beautiful complexion. He was looking handsome. He was feeling nice. And Allah cured him immediately. Allah's test went on this man one greater than that. The angel then asked him, أَيُّ الْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ. Which form of wealth would you want? So he says, if Allah ever grants me, I would love to have camels. This is my hobby and my desire. If Allah ever opens up the doors of wealth for me, this is what I desire. أُعْطِيَ نَاقَةً عَشْرًا. The angel congratulated him. He says, it's not something that is to prevail in the future. Here is a pregnant she camel. Allah has granted it to you. Gives him the camel. He is cured. Then embraces him and makes dua for him. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكَ فِيهَا. May Allah give you barakat in your health, in your wealth. May Allah keep you well, take you from strength to strength. Show you all the joys and the prosperity and all the subtle hope that were in your heart with which every human is living. The day Allah gives me money, this. The day Allah recovers me, this. Every man is moving with this hope and aspiration and he passes his life. Makes dua for him and wishes him well. Well, he goes to the next person. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ أَتَى الْأَقْرَى. He comes to the bald person. Perhaps you and I that have hair, we cannot appreciate what is the plight of a person that is bald. And I say this again. This is the foolishness of man. This is the short-sightedness of man. That he feels nobody has a problem because he doesn't have my problem. Your problem is nothing. When you got money, you must ask me what it is with poverty. You got pious children. Ask me what it is to have children that are disobedient. Your wife does for you. Ask me what it is. This is the foolishness of man that he feels the next man has no problem because he doesn't have my problem. This is the short-sightedness of man. Each man in his own way, go and knock the door of any man, there's only tears. Wallah, the man in wealth, the man in poverty, the man in health, the man in sickness, each man in his own way has been tested by Allah. Nevertheless, he comes to this bald man, what would you like to have? Sha'ran Hasan, I wish Allah can give me beautiful hair. Says, no problem, you have it, rubs his hand on his head. Allah grants him hair, not a wig, but hair from Allah. What wealth would you like? Al-Baqar, I would love that Allah gives me a cow and I have cattle. Says, here you have it. U'tiya baqaratan hamila. A cow that was calfing, that was carrying a calf, pregnant cow. Barakallahu laka fiha. May Allah give you barakat, may you enjoy what you have. Gave him, Allah cured him, gave him his wealth and made dua for him. He comes to the third person. Thumma innahu atal a'ma. As I mentioned, the focus of my topic is, brothers, let us not forget our past. Wallah, let us try and revive and ask ourselves once upon a time, when we lived in sickness, in poverty, when entire family had to share one toilet and bathroom. Today we walk in homes that are called palaces. Every child has his personal bedroom. Every child has his personal place where he relieves himself. Did the thought ever cross our mind when we were living those life of poverty and penury? Our parents went away in those days, that Allah has opened up such an empire. Oh foolish man, do you still find time to complain about your Allah when He's given you so much? He comes to the blind man, what do you want? أَن يَرُدَّ اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ بَصَرِي. That Allah must restore to me my sight. فَأُبْصِرَ النَّاسِ. So that I can look at people. I read an article in the Reader's Digest. A woman in America was blind. She was asked, if the Lord and the Almighty restored your sight for 1 second, what vision would you love to see? She says, I would love to see a child's smile. That which you and I overlook. Why? Because Allah has given us this gaze. But rather we cast in nasty glances on strange women, lustful gazes on women that Allah has made unlawful. Ask that person that is blind, that can come to the Kaaba, feel the Kaaba, but cannot see the Kaaba. That can touch the Quran, but not see the Quran. That can come to Medina Munawwara, and hear the people crying in Durood, but not see the Rozai Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salam. I wish that the Almighty restores my sight, فَوْبْصِرَ النَّاسِ, so that I can also look at the muazzin call out the azan, at the child smiling. I can also enjoy the sight. He rubs his hand on his head. Allah restores his sight. The Quran poses this question. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. If Allah is to snatch your sight, snatch your hearing ability. And Allah says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. Oh man, when you're abusing your sight, we are in full control to make you blind at that spot. لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ. We will disfigure you. Nevertheless, his sight is restored. What form of wealth will you enjoy? He says, I wish my Allah gives me sheep. I love sheep and goats. The angel gives him a pregnant goat that's carrying a kid. And then again wishes him, well, barakallahu, may Allah give you barakat. Allah has cured you, Allah give you barakat in your health and your wealth. In due time, fantajja hadhani wa wallada hadha. The respective animals gave birth to their respective children, gave birth to the calf, the kid, and the camel. فَكَانَ لِهَذَا وَادٍ مِّنَ الْإِبِلِ وَلِهَذَا وَادٍ مِّنَ الْبَقَرِ وَلِهَذَا وَادٍ مِّنَ الْغَنَمِ. So the first gentleman enjoyed a valley of camels, while the second enjoyed a farm of cattle, while the third enjoyed a flock of sheep. Allah said, that's not all. Sometime later, Allah sent the very same angel in a disguised form. The riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif, the most authentic book of hadith. This angel comes to this first gentleman who was once upon a time a leper, who was once upon a time a pauper. He comes in a disguised form and he says, "Oh my brother, I was traveling in your neighborhood. قَدْ انْقَطَعَتْ بِي الْحِبَالِ فَلَا بَلَاغَ لِي الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ بِكْ أسألك بالذي أعطاك اللون الحسن والجلد الحسن بعيرا أتبلغ به في سفري." You know what? My provisions are exhausted. My funds are depleted. I've lost my conveyance. Can I intercede to you in the name of that Allah who has been so kind, who has cured you from leprosy and has given you wealth from poverty? Can I ask you to enable me and enrich me just with one camel from all these camels? Perhaps I can mount onto this and find my way back to my house. This man says, الحقوق كثيرة. Sorry, can you move from here? I am very occupied. I'm very busy. I quote the words of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The words is, the man declines and he says, "You know what? I've got a lot of obligations. I've got a lot of payments to meet. I got to sign few checks. I got to pay certain people. I can't give you one camel. Please move on." So the angel says, "Can you give me 2 minutes? 2 minutes of your time. Talk, talk. What do you want to say?" كأني أعرفك. Brother, I think I know you. Alam takun abras? If you don't mind, your majesty, your honor, were you not the leper that suffered leprosy? Faqiran, you were poor. A'taka Allah, and then Allah gave you and Allah cured you. He says, "No, no, you got your facts muddled. You got your facts upside down. Innama warithul mala kabiran an kabirin. I have inherited a handsome legacy. I was born rich, my friend. You are talking of someone else. Sorry, that's not me. Why didn't you move on from here?" The angel then says, "In kunta kadiban fasayyaraka Allahu ila ma kunt." Oh Allah, this man is lying. Kneel him back and bring him back into his original condition. Yes, brothers, that messenger of Allah and that disguised angel is knocking your door every day. He will leave, but the curse of his heart will remain with you and your generations. He goes on. He comes to the bald man. Has a similar discussion. "I'm stranded here. Allah has given you so much. I just need some basic. Can you give me one night provision?" He says, "What do you mean provision? No, no, I don't have any time for you." وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah says, there are some people that make false promises with me. Their promises are, "لَإِنْ آتَانَا, today Allah gives me, لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ, my money will go in charitable organizations." فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah says, then I give him the wealth that he asked me. A person by the name of Tha'laba bin Hatab Ansari comes to Nabi alayhi salam. "O Nabi of Allah, make dua Allah increases my wealth." Nabi alayhi salam says, "Tha'laba, that which is little and keeps you obligated to Allah is better than that which comes in abundance and makes you unmindful of Allah." After a few days, he comes back again. "O Nabi of Allah, make dua Allah must increase my money." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "With the money comes the rights. The rights of money are great. O Nabi of Allah, I swear by Allah, I will discharge every right of the money that Allah will give me." The third time he comes, the Nabi of Allah says, "Talaba, do you not find a sufficient example in the poverty of your Nabi? Am I not a sufficient example that people can live poor and die and be happy with Allah? Is this not sufficient?" He insists, he persists. The Nabi of Allah lifts his hands and makes dua. Allah increases. Allah multiplies his wealth. Allah multiplies his cows, his cattle and his sheep. The first harm that came, now because he was expanding, he had to move outside Medina. He had to distance himself in one of the farms, deprived of the noble company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to now come occasionally for Jummah and occasionally for Eid. And then one day when someone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to go and receive zakat, he said, "What is zakat? Zakat is a penalty. We don't want zakat. We don't give zakat." From that day onwards, the Quran says hypocrisy penetrated in his heart. Nabi alayhi salam said, "From today onwards, I cannot accept your money." He came begging to the Nabi of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah has refused me and prevented me from touching your money." So he comes to this bald man. "Can you give me one cow?" "No, no, I'm owing people too much. I'm very occupied. I'm sorry." "But weren't you poor? You were bald. You had nothing. You were living in one simple hut. You didn't have enough. You were living below the bread line. Today you are driving cars that are so expensive. Your child is carrying a so expensive phone, the shoes, the dressing. Have you forgotten where you started, what Allah has given you? My friend, you are muddling your facts. Go talk to someone else. You are not talking about me. I am born rich and I am born healthy." He comes to the third person. "My brother, I am stranded here and Allah has given you so much. Can you be kind to give me some provision? Give me one sheet. Arrange for my food. Arrange for my meal." He says, "Come here, my brother. Inni kuntu a'ma. Wallah, I was blind and I was poor. I couldn't see and I had nothing. Today you have come. Wallahi, la amna'uka, la ajhaduka al-yawma shay'an. I will not stop you from taking anything and everything on the name of Allah. I had nothing, Allah gave me. This is why Allah gave me, that I can help, stretch a helping hand to someone. Take the sheep and enjoy as much as you want to. Whatever you want, you can enjoy for the pleasure of Allah. I will not hold it back from you. The angel comes forward, embraces this man. It says, I am an angel. Allah has not sent me to take your wealth. Allah sent me to your two companions. They were arrogant. Allah is going to return them back to that poverty, if not worse. Allah is pleased with you. Because Allah is pleased with you, that means Allah is going to multiply. Because Allah is displeased with them, that means Allah is going to snatch. Friends and elders, the minimum we can do, I terminate with a very sensitive incident. There was a king by the name of Mahmud, who had a beloved minister by the name of Ayaz. All the other ministers were very offended that the king loved this man, and the king favored this man. So they incited the king, and they told the king that this minister of yours, Ayaz, in the night, he is stealing from the treasury. So the king said, no, never, my beloved minister Ayaz, I love him, he will never betray me in my absence. But because they insisted and they provoked the king, the king said, okay, those days, the treasury was an entire room. It was just not a safe. So the king decided, okay, because you are insisting tonight, we will go and we will sit in the treasury and we will observe to see if your allegations are correct. So in the night, the king with the other ministers waited there in the treasury. And as the other ministers pointed out, 12 o'clock in the night, Ayaz, the beloved favorite minister of the king, walks in. He enters from one side, he goes in the corner. He is now the beloved minister of the king and is wearing a royal garment. He goes in one corner, he lifts one sack, and from there he takes out one torn, tattered outfit. He takes off his royal clothing, he puts on this original old garment in which he came. Then he cries and he said, Allah, this is Ayaz. Allah, this is who I am. You promoted me, you honored me, you made me this. I am not this royal garment, and I am not that the world is saluting me, and I am not what the people are calling me. Allah, I am this poor, humble person. Every day he used to don this garment. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, after becoming the Amirul Mu'mineen, he one day was walking by the pastures where he used to graze the animals. He stopped there and he paused and he started crying. People told him, Amirul Mu'mineen, what is this? He says, I recall the time of arrogance, the time of ignorance, when I was not a Muslim and I had nothing. I used to graze some sheep here to earn some money. Wallah, Umar, this is what you are, and these are the pastures where you used to graze. What you enjoy today is what Allah has given you. Brothers, let us go to those venues, those places where we suffered, where we had challenges, and let us remind ourselves who we are and what we are, and let us not forget the favors that Allah has given us. I terminate again with the ayat with which I commence. Allahakumut takathur. O man, the constant crave of accumulating more has made you unmindful, negligent, and oblivious of what Allah has given you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He make us grateful to the bounties that He has favored us. People are talking of looking at the positive aspects of South Africa and ignore the crime. They're saying it's a rainbow nation and we moved out of apartheid. Brothers, let us look at the positive aspects of deen, how Allah has favored us, the health that Allah has given us. Wallahi, you'll be feeling tired and depressed and financial stress. My brother, I can take it away in one day. Go and visit any hospital at your doorstep. Instantly, all your problems will come to an end. It's time we focus on the favors of Allah. If we can't look at that poor man, at least let's revive our past, how poor we are and how Allah has enriched us. May Allah inspire us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.